And now we bring you Radical Women in KBOO History, recordings that have been recovered from the KBOO archives. To celebrate KBOO's 40th anniversary this year, we are working on restoring some of the aging tapes from our archives. You can help with this project by stopping by the station or giving a financial contribution online at kboo.fm. In the first part of this series, we bring you a recording of a rally in 1977, calling for the Equal Rights Amendment to be ratified by Congress.
Working women know that those who oppose the Equal Rights Amendment oppose jobs and full employment. And we know that those who oppose the Equal Rights Amendment oppose national health as a comprehensive plan for this country. We know that those who oppose ERA are anti-union. And I just want to say that this is one of the greatest moments of my life after having walked picket lines and demonstrated all over this country, having worked in Florida, having worked in Indiana, having helped turn on UAW union women on this critical issue. We're going to move into Illinois and do a better job than we ever did before. We made some mistakes. We didn't have enough union women involved. We're going to get them involved, and we're going to do it by March 22nd. And we're going to have ERA, and we're going to have equal rights, and we're going to have full rights for working women everywhere. Thank you.
Before I introduce the next speaker, I would like to say, as you probably noticed, the President of the United States has decreed this week as Energy Emergency Week. I think we should call on him to declare next week ERA Emergency Week. The next speaker is my friend, Gloria Steinem.
You're very courageous standing there in the rain. I feel very courageous up here too. But we are not alone. The majority of the people in this country support the Equal Rights Amendment. The majority of people in Florida support.
Before I introduce the next speaker, I would like to say, as you probably know, the United States has calling him to declare next The next speaker is my friend, Gloria Steinem.
You're very courageous standing there in the rain. I feel very courageous up here too. But we are not alone. The majority of the people in this country support the Equal Rights Amendment. The majority of people in Florida supported the Equal Rights Amendment by 3-1. They supported it. What is on trial in this country is not the Equal Rights Amendment. It is the democracy of our state legislatures.
We have just walked 6 blocks in the rain here for this ERA rally, but Susan B. Anthony walked for 40 years to try and achieve suffrage for women. Women still have not achieved their rights in this just and equitable society. It is time for women in the labor market to receive equal pay for equal work. It is time we tried to do something for older women over 65 who exist in near poverty. It is time we recognized women's contributions in the arts and the humanities. It is time we had women at all levels elected in government. It is time that we recognize the worth and dignity of every individual, man or woman, and that time is now.
The last time that I saw our next speaker before today, I saw her on national television. She was busy trying to explain to a male anti-ERA legislator in Florida why he could help make history. He was not smart enough to take her advice. Betty Friedan needs no introduction.
I have come back from those sunny battlefields of Florida, and I am angry, as you are angry. I saw how the women of Florida wanted the ERA, 3-1, 4-1, the way the women of this country and the men too want the ERA. And I saw naked reactionary power twist the arms, backroom deals of men who had been elected to the state senate in commitment to the women and to the ERA, and something very powerful went on there to make them switch their votes and risk political suicide at the last minute. And because I dared you ask, what economic power, what political power, even what church power is trying to prevent woman's will to equality with all the economic benefits of equality? They were terribly defensive. They didn't want any questions asked. And I say to you, we will not only continue to ask those questions, but we are going to match reactionary power with human power. That is, we have the power. We don't have the millions or the billions of the John Birch political forces, the corporate forces that don't want to pay equal pension benefits, equal wages, or maternity benefits. We don't even have the fortunes of the church hierarchy. But we have our bodies, we have ourselves, we have the women and the men of this country and the hope of the future generations. And I invoke today the power of every woman who has a better job, who has a better job or hopes for a better job because of the women's movement for equality. I invoke the power of the grandmothers and the granddaughters who will be able to go to medical school, go to law school because of the women's movement for equality. I invoke the power of women who are married and women who are divorced and women who are fearful and women who are calm and women who have never dared to call themselves feminists and women who are weary after 10 years of marching in feminist struggle. And I say that from the Girl Scouts, of which I'm proud to be the national board, they endorse the ERA, they had the biggest cookie sale in history. And from the Girl Scouts to the League of Women Voters, to Hadassah, to now, to women that have never belonged to anything. We, and our husbands, and our lovers, and our sons, and our daughters, are going to have to do what needs to be done in the next year and a half. We are going to have to boycott Ford orange juice or Georgia peaches if we need to. And I say to the UAW or to General Motors, or to the Ford Motor Company, or to President Jimmy Carter, if you profess to believe in equality for women, put your money where your mouth is. No more symbolism. And I say to all of you, my sisters in now, our militancy, our energy, our ability to do the things we did when nobody thought was possible is the reason that a whole generation, two generations of women can now demand equality, is the reason that the forces are massed against us. We will not relax that energy, that militancy. We will give it up to no one until we have the ERA ratified. And I pledge to you a second decade of women's movement to the ERA and beyond.
Thank you. the Wayne County Community College Choir here at Kennedy Square in Detroit, I believe. Not too sure what they're singing yet. However, they are providing a break in the rally proceedings here. We have just heard from Betty Friedan, who was the last speaker in line at this rally. It's very rainy here in Detroit. We're sitting under a tarp and waiting to see whether any more people are going to speak. The rally is moving along very fast, probably because of the rain. The crowd does seem to be moving around now. We've had, in addition to ERA supporters, some ERA opponents this morning. We looked up at one point and saw a helicopter flying around Kennedy Square with letters hanging from it saying, "Reject the ERA," I believe. I was told that this tactic was used in Indiana as well, when right before the Indiana legislature had to consider passage of the ERA in that state. We also heard from Edith Van Horn this morning, who is a vice president of the United Automobile Workers Union, that the United Automobile Workers, along with the AFL and CIO, are considering not holding any conventions in ERA unratified states. They, I assume, hope to indicate that or make this a matter of policy. This has taken place in Nevada already. I understand that in Nevada, when the ERA ratification was up before the legislature and failed, this economic boycott was used very effectively, and some 40 conventions were lost to the state of Nevada because of their refusal or failure to ratify the ERA. So it looks as if the economic boycott may become a very real tactic used by the forces who are supporting the ERA. And coming into our booth here at Kennedy Square is one of the mothers of the National Organization for Women. Welcome to Betty Friedan. It's nice to have you here, Betty, today. You were in Florida, right?
Oh, yes. I spent nearly 2 weeks there. And I went all over the state. They, you know, requested the women from Florida from an ice cream social on the way to the beach in the Palm Beach area, to a League of Women Voters luncheon in Sarasota, and the condominiums in Miami, the Hadassah. I preached at a sermon at Temple Israel in Miami, and I went up to Tallahassee. And as I traveled around the state of Florida, I got the impression, in doubled of what the polls also showed, that there was enormous support for the ERA in Florida. That, you know, the polls show, not only the Gallup and Harris polls and all that showed 3-1 support for the ERA, but in Florida, Pat Goodell had just taken a poll showing 4-1 support for the ERA. Well, that support was everywhere. When you got to Tallahassee, you found that the women who were being sort of ladylike, because they had more than the 20 votes needed committed to support ratification of the ERA, and you found sinister power actually being used almost nakedly to use all sorts of force and pressure to get those men to change their votes. And amazing thing to see. It was amazing thing to see. And then even to question it, as we did, got those state senators extremely defensive. They didn't want anyone to question where the pressure was coming from, where the power was coming from. And it was quite an experience, as I said here.
The final vote in ERA was extremely close, right, in Florida, I should say. What was it, 20-1? 20-19?
20-19?
A matter of one or two votes, right?
And, you know, the women and the men in Florida, they learned a lesson. I mean, they're not going to be so ladylike the next time. They were vowing everything from court suits to recall those senators that had been elected in commitment for ERA from Miami and places like that. The demand, the governor is for the ERA, all right, if he's for the ERA, he may have to call a special session of the state legislature, as he did on capital punishment. I mean, they're not going to give up there. And a year ago, 2 years ago, when some of us were down there, they didn't want to talk about anything, that a real severe economic sanction, like boycotting orange juice. The women from Florida were asking me when I was down there, "What do you think, Betty, do you think we should boycott Florida oranges?" And I said, "Well, what about you?" Said, "We've got to do something. We just can't take this lying down." They weren't cheerful in their defeat. They were just furious and angry, and they were telling me one after the other, we just can't be so ladylike about it. And I think they will go back and they will get the ERA ratified in Florida before it's over. We've got to learn from their lesson what we do. This is a national issue. This is not an issue for any state. So there's got to be national force and support of women, economically and politically, behind the efforts in the next state.
So I know that one of the options, or the tactics, I should say, that was mentioned by you in Florida, right, was this idea of economic boycott.
Well, one of the reasons I'm here at the Detroit Convention of Now is because, I mean, for me now, as for everyone else, the ratification of the ERA has to be everyone's priority. I, in my own thinking and writing and lecturing, I want to get on to other questions, but I can't do that really until ERA is ratified.
You are listening to a recording from the KABU archives. This recording is from 1977 and is a rally for the Equal Rights Amendment.
And next we have Barbara Rose Collins, who's going to talk to us. She's the representative of the 21st District in Michigan, and she spoke before this crowd this morning.
You are, I assume, a supporter of the ERA. I believe you mentioned something about that in your speech this morning to the crowd.
That's right. I said the ERA will pass and will become the law of the land because we need it for survival. We can't have any human rights denied any people in this country. I also told the people who were brave enough and felt strongly enough about ERA to march from Grand Circus Park in the rain that the opponents of ERA are the enemies of many different movements. They're the enemies of black people, Chicano people. They're the enemies of poor people. They're the same people I see in the state capitol when we try to pass a bill to end sex stereotyping and discrimination, racial and minority discrimination in textbooks. We see these same people who are anti-ERA come to speak against the discrimination, speak against banning discrimination in textbooks. They're the same people who tell us that we love little black Sambo.
So it does sound as if opposition to ERA is really part of a bigger picture, part of a fabric of opposition to a number of issues.
That's right, and they're antithesis to everything that's great about America. They're a small group, but they're a powerful group. They have an awful lot of money, and I urge all of your listeners not to be taken in by their seemingly innocuous appearance. These people are deadly. They're violent people, and they are against your rights and my rights.
Thank you very much, Barbara Rose Collins, representative from the Michigan State Legislature, for being here. And by the way, since we have been spending some time talking about this Equal Rights Amendment, some of you may not be familiar with exactly what it says. It says in Section 1, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Section 2 states the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. And Section 3, which is very pertinent right now, states this amendment shall take effect 2 years after the date of ratification. The date of ratification is March of 1979, I believe, and this is why the present defeats have been as damaging as they have. We need, the ERA needs the ratification of 38 states to become an amendment to the United States Constitution, and right now the ratification process seems to be stable at the 35 states, and as Betty Friedan indicated to us a few moments ago, the latest defeat for the ERA, if you will, occurred last month in Florida by a very, very close vote. Cheryl, have you anything more about the ERA? Or
only that this ERA rally is just the first part of the 10th anniversary of the National Now Conference. A weekend of festivities is planned, including workshops on Friday and Saturday. And what's on Sunday, Ann?
On Sunday, the National Organization for Women will be electing a new slate of officers, all the way from the president on down. During the course of its 10-year history, NOW has had four presidents, beginning with Betty Friedan, to whom we spoke earlier. And let me see, she was followed by Eileen Hernandez, who was in turn followed by Wilma Scott Heide, whose name was mentioned today and who unfortunately was not able to be on the speaker's podium at the rally today. And the present president of the National Organization for Women is Karen DeCrow, who spoke briefly at the rally today and who will be the keynote speaker tomorrow in the morning session, the beginning of the plenary session at the conference. The National Organization for Women came into existence in June of 1966, and it came about when 28 women who were attending the Third National Conference of Commissions on the Status of Women in Washington, D.C., got together because of their level of frustration had grown because their rights and their ability to make statements at this conference had been denied them, they felt. Betty Friedan, who was at that conference at the time, invited a group of these women to her hotel room one night to discuss alternative strategies, and it was decided at that point that the only solution was to form a separate civil rights organization dedicated to achieving full equality for women. It was Betty Friedan who gave it the name the National Organization for Women, or as many of us know it now, a very appropriate acronym, and now went on to hold its first organizing conference in October of 1966, again in Washington, D.C. They drew over 300 women and men from all parts of the country, and Betty Friedan, as I indicated before, was elected the group's first president. Other members of the now board included at that time such names as Betty Furness, Dorothy Hayner, a very active figure in the United Auto Workers Union here in Detroit, Jane Hart, widow of Senator Philip Hart of Michigan, author Alice Rossi. The National Organization for Women was officially incorporated in Washington, D.C. on February 10th, 1967, which makes it, I suppose, the real 10th anniversary, or the real 10th birthday of that organization as of February of this year. By the time now held its second national conference, again in Washington, D.C., it was in 1967, the membership at that point had risen to 1,200. And that was the particular year that now startled some people and lost some members also by declaring its support for repeal of all abortion laws and its support for passage of the Equal Rights Amendment, a support which has been unwavering over the course of its 10-year history. Betty Friedan continued as president of the organization up to the third National Now Conference, which was held in Atlanta, Georgia in 1968, and actually until 1970, when Eileen Hernandez assumed the presidency at a conference which was held in Illinois. And then in 1971, September of that year, the membership had mushroomed to over 15,000. And now chapters from Maine to Hawaii attended the fifth annual conference in Los Angeles on Labor Day weekend and elected Wilma Scott Heide as their president. She became the third national president of NOW. And in 1972, the presidency was assumed by Karen DeCrow, who is the present national president of NOW, and who will be concluding her presidency in a very short period of time. As we stated earlier, on Sunday morning this weekend, we will know the results of the election, which will be held for a new slate of officers for the National Organization for Women. This National Organization for Women's 10th Annual Conference, by the way, has started today with a bang and a lot of raindrops on a lot of people's heads, as a matter of fact.
As we go marching in the beauty of the day, a million hearts and kisses, the world will not gray. Oh, come with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses, for the people here are singing, pray.
What you just heard was a 1977 recording of a rally for the Equal Rights Amendment. Stay tuned next Friday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more KBOO Archive recordings.